For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, everyone? It's Denise Salcedo. It is Monday, June 24th, and I'm here for another mini Raw review. So if you want the lowdown, the breakdown, the highlights of what went down on a 3-hour show in a short period of time, I gotcha. I'm here for you. So this was actually right now where we're at with WWE. There has been a lot of buzz around the product. Last week, we got one of those rare weeks where every WWE show hit. Raw was really great. NXT delivered. And then SmackDown, I thought, completely wiped Raw out of the water. So it's so weird to think that we're now in a period where the shows are good. And I say this because for such a long time, Raw was not always that great. I have been covering Raw religiously now every week for the last almost 5 years. And clearly, I have been watching my entire life, but covering it from a media standpoint, from a podcaster standpoint, it has now been about to be in September 5 years. And when I think about that, there were so many years where it was not like this. It was not a hot product. And I remember people constantly going on and talking about how bad the show was. And to be sitting here now with a show that is actually good, with great stories that we're seeing unfold, things that got people excited. We are excited heading into Money in the Bank, SummerSlam. I feel like there's going to be a lot of good coming out of those shows. So I say all of this to say that Raw was a good show today. Following up from last week's banger, I thought that this one delivered just as much. So I'm going to start again with the biggest stories from the show and then work my way down. So, of course, the biggest thing that we have to get into right away is the Wyatt Six stuff. So last week was the introduction, the debut. They attacked everybody, Chad Gable. We thought he was dead. Apparently, he's not dead. We'll talk about Chad Gable later. But today, this one's a little bit more serious. And this one, it's kind of hard to talk about because this was something that isn't just a storyline. This is not just a storyline that was made up for Monday Night Raw, made up for the millions to enjoy. This is something that came out of a real life situation, and it was the passing of Bray Wyatt. Now, we get what happened here today is following a match that Chad Gable had, we end up seeing Nikki Cross. She comes out, she's crawling, she's in her spookiness, and there's all of this smoke and stuff. She hands a VHS to Michael Cole, and I'm laughing because a VHS, it's so crazy because when I first started watching wrestling, many of you guys know this story, but I started watching wrestling because my uncle needed someone to record the shows, and I would record the shows with a VHS and a VCR and all of that. So thankfully, I made it into that era where I know what all of that stuff is and used it for so many years. And so it really takes me back to a totally different time and place. But anyways, so she gives a VHS to Michael Cole. Michael Cole gives that VHS to production, and later on in the show, they roll this interview. So the interview is Uncle Howdy, and at first, you're just seeing the silhouette of somebody. You don't know who he's interviewing, and it's then revealed that it is Bo Dallas. And what we end up getting is probably around a 4-minute interview where Bo Dallas is talking about how much it hurt him to lose his brother, Bray. And of course, a lot of us here have lost someone, and we all know what that feels like. And so Bo Dallas is talking about that in regards to Bray. And the way that it is portrayed, I loved the way they broke it down because it was very, very, very deep. Because you're looking at this and yeah, it's a storyline on a show, but it's based off a real, real thing. And it's kind of hard because when I was watching it, the whole time I was just so focused and so serious, right? Because I just wanted to listen to everything that he had to say, because I almost felt like this was the real Bo Dallas talking about his real feelings regarding Bray. None of this felt like storyline, even though of course it is storyline. The way that it was presented was more like this dark psychological presentation. It's almost like you were watching a movie. And it's this sort of slow burn, but we're getting so much out of it. And I liked it because, again, it's a real thing, but you're also getting into the mind of Bo Dallas. And then from the storyline perspective, it was more so like kind of creepy to see Uncle Howdy interview Bo Dallas. It was sort of creepy because it was like a man being interviewed almost by like his demon or like the dark side of him. And I think that was the part that sort of tripped me out, but also made me intrigued. The way that I saw it was like, imagine you were talking about your deepest, most inner thoughts, but you're talking about it with the darkest side of who you are. And that is why I liked what they did here today, because that's what I felt like. I felt like we were seeing this, it's almost like if you were to split a human being in half, right? And your darker, evil self is interviewing you. And that kind of hit really nicely. And so, man, but the whole time I was also sad. You're sad because you know this is a real thing. But on the entertainment standpoint from it, if you're just caring about the storyline portion of it, it's very, very intriguing. And so that was something that I thought that definitely worked very, very nicely. I thought that this was just more meaningful than any sort of silly shenanigans that you can do where you have weird stuff happening, like more of the sci-fi stuff. This didn't feel like any of that. This felt very grounded and very real. And again, dark, but in a psychological way. And I think that all of us can buy that because we all know that, hey, our mind is one of the darkest places that we can be. And no matter how happy and prim and polished you are, everybody has this, everybody has a dark side, right? And not even a dark side where you have to be evil or anything. It's almost your dark side where you're heartbroken, where things that happen in your life impact who you are and impact the actions of how you behave in life. And so anyways, this whole thing has got me going down this rabbit hole of like really getting me involved with my feelings. But that was basically what we saw. Bo Dallas talking about Bray, talking about how they were supposed to be together. Like they were supposed to be together. They were supposed to be living the dream together. And then that didn't happen. And he talked about people sort of forgetting them. Now, at first, I took it as, oh, you know, sometimes when people die, like no one talks about that person. Like it's only sporadically, right? It's not like you're being talked about every day. And at first, I thought that that's what he meant by that. But I think instead what he meant by that was that all of the people that are part of the Wyatt Six, I think it's more so that all of those people were forgotten. I'm not really too sure, but that was like my first immediate reaction to that. But I think he may have been talking more so about the group and what the group has been through in their wrestling journey, right? All of these people that really didn't have any storylines. Like you think of Joe Gacy, who was pretty much lost in NXT. You had Dexter Lumis, who again was lost in NXT, then got called up to the main roster and literally did nothing. You have Nikki Cross, who has been through so many different iterations of a character. And even though she's knocked it out of the park each and every single time, she's sort of still been forgotten about. And so I do think that was part of that. The crazy thing about this, too, is that when Bray was doing his storyline, it was not something that a lot of people liked, right? Like, there were certain things that were cool, and then there were certain things that were not. It was a very criticized storyline. I know it because there was a lot of stuff that I didn't really love in the storylines that we were seeing with Bray. Some of it was just too far-fetched, right? And that's fine because it's storyline stuff. But it's so crazy to think that now they're starting to get this story right. I mean, it's barely been 2 weeks of what we've been seeing on television, right? But it's so crazy to think that it's now being portrayed in a better way. And it's sad, though, because it's almost like the thing when they say you don't be like all these famous painters from back in the day, right? Like, they were never famous when they were alive and doing these paintings. Their work got famous after they passed. And I don't know. I just kind of got really deep into my thoughts about this. And I started thinking about how this is, in a way, for Bo Dallas, something very nice, because he's able to now, how do I say this? In order to honor Bray's memory, he's able to give people this story so that they can not only remember Bray constantly because he's part of this, but also just like remember, like, this is what he wanted to do. And things were different back then because Vince McMahon was involved. And so seeing now that this story is working and this story is being done right, it just makes you think like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It really makes you think. This is a complicated situation, guys, because again, it's just not a storyline thing. This is a real life situation. But the things you need to know is this promo was really good. It was a deep promo. I urge you to go and watch it on YouTube or wherever. And just, I don't know, it's going to make you think about stuff. I get very, very, I overanalyze everything and I start to think about a lot of this stuff. So this is sort of working for me right now because, again, it dives into real life situations. And so it sort of made me start to think about all of these things. And it's weird because this is, again, sports entertainment, but it's got me thinking about life and whatever. It's a whole lot, but it was a really good part of the show. And I'm liking what they are doing right now with the Wyatt Six. They are getting it right. They're presenting it in a way where I think people are enjoying it. It's tasteful in the sense that a lot of people, I think, are going to respect it a lot more. And so I say all that to say, good job. Good job with the Wyatt Six storyline. So that was really like the big thing that I would say was the biggest thing on the show. The next thing that I want to go ahead and talk about, let's go ahead and get into what's going on with Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio, because you guys all know how I really like this whole storyline. This one was fun today too. So we're going polar opposite now. And really the big things that happened here was that, of course, we're getting Zelina versus Liv Morgan. That's happening at Money in the Bank. And so Liv Morgan is still trying to make Dominic Mysterio fall in love with him. And she's giving him all these gifts, which included chicken nuggets. And so she's trying to gift him. She's trying to win back his love, or not win back his love. She's trying to win his love, right? But whatever. This led to an in-ring segment where I thought, of all parties, Zelina Vega killed it in this segment, because she basically says all the things that many of us have been thinking. She told Liv Morgan, why are you trying to get Rhea Ripley's sloppy seconds? And sloppy seconds hit to the point where the crowd was chanting sloppy seconds. This is so funny. And the other line that really, like, practically killed me, it was a really good play on words, was Zelina telling Liv, you're chasing Dirty D while I'm trying to chase the championship. And I thought, oh, that is a really, really good play on words there. And so I thought that Zelina absolutely delivered in all of this. But basically what we ended up getting was Dominic Mysterio goes out there and he's getting booed to no end, of course. And we end up seeing Liv Morgan and Zelina. They're fighting, they're throwing down. Rey Mysterio, because of course he's part of the LWO with Zelina, he comes out and he ends up pulling Liv Morgan off of Zelina, which, rule number one, Rey, you don't break up a chick fight. What are you doing, Rey? You don't do that. And so he breaks up the fight, right? And Dominic reacts to this. Dominic pushes Rey Mysterio, and he's pissed the hell off. And so then Liv Morgan, like some crazy lunatic, sees this as, oh my God, he loves me. Look at him. He pushed his father for me. He loves me. And I still believe that subconsciously, Dominic Mysterio is falling in love with Liv Morgan. I mentioned this before, but I do believe that Dominic is going to fall in love with Liv. And of course, as we all know, this is Liv being mean. She's just messing with his feelings. She's going to make him develop real feelings. And once he actually gets suckered in, she is going to break his heart at the perfect moment in order to get back at Rhea Ripley and leave Dominic Mysterio so brokenhearted. And so anyways, this was really, really good. On top of that, though, this does impact the tag team division because Liv Morgan has a backstage segment with R-Truth in which R-Truth thinks he's talking to Carmella and he ends up giving Liv a tag team title shot. So it's R-Truth and The Miz versus Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. And due to a distraction by Liv, she's like hugging R-Truth and then she ends up choking him on the ropes. And so this led to Finn Balor hitting his coup de grace and now Finn and JD McDonagh are the tag team champions. And truthfully, this really isn't any better. I'll be real with you guys. This really isn't any better because R-Truth and Miz were like not, they were a comedy act. They weren't going to elevate the tag team division for the men. They were just a comedy act. And so now, at least with Finn and JD, you'll probably be getting more like thorough matches. But even then, we just came off of Finn being a tag team champion with Damian Priest. So I feel like I already know what we're going to get. And I want to see these tag team titles away from the Judgment Day. So I almost feel like we're back to where we started in the beginning with the men's tag team division. It's just comedy. It doesn't really feel like a division that I'm really invested in right now. So again, I'm glad that they're off of R-Truth and The Miz, but it really isn't that much better with Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. So we'll see what they end up doing, but that's kind of about it with that. But this is the Liv Morgan, Dominic, Zelina stuff, all of that has been really hitting. Oh, and they also had a backstage segment where like Liv is giving Dominic a hug and he has his arms up in his air and I was waiting for him to put his arms down and have a little moment, but not yet. Not yet, ladies and gents. And I do think there's going to be a pop. I do think there's going to be a pop the moment that Dominic actually shows some of that love back to Liv Morgan, because all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh shit, did you forget about somebody? Yes, you did. You forgot about Rhea freaking Ripley. So that's going to be something. Earlier I had mentioned, let's get into the qualifiers, the Money in the Bank matches, because that's very important. I had mentioned the Chad Gable match earlier because it tied into the Bray Wyatt stuff with the Wyatt Six. However, the qualifier that we saw was Braun Strowman versus Chad Gable versus Bronson Reed. And the only thing that I really want to say in this is that I thought this match was going to be better. I think that Braun Strowman has kind of been looking a little rusty. And I noticed it last week. I might have mentioned it on the podcast. I don't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast where I said that he did a headbutt and he didn't even come close to hitting anybody's face. And it was just too obvious, right? And I hate to see stuff like that because with pro wrestling, you have to suspend your disbelief a lot. And when you see someone not really get hit, it kind of ruins it for you. Like, you're like, oh, I don't want to see that. Like, why did I have to see that? My eyes. Why did I see that? And I kind of had a couple of situations like that. This one was a little bit different because there were some moments that, again, it just didn't really look good for Braun. One of them was he got caught up in the ropes where it looked like he was almost going to be choked by the ropes, which was very dangerous. So you definitely don't want to see that. Another part was he didn't really catch Chad Gable at one point, so that didn't look too great. Then when he did the running shoulder tackle on Bronson Reed, barely even touched the guy. I think he barely touched him like by an inch, and Bronson Reed had to sell it like the guy just ran through him like a truck. And I kind of hated that because I'm like, I have eyes so I can see. And so I kind of personally felt like Braun Strowman has been looking a little rusty. So hopefully that works itself out at some point. But either way, we end up seeing the Judgment Day attack Braun Strowman. And so that kind of eliminates him from the match because it's no DQ. And so Gable is able to get the victory here, and he wins, and he joins Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, in the men's Money in the Bank match. So it's looking really good with the options that they have in there right now. So that was the men's Money in the Bank. And we have the women's. We had Shayna Baszler, Lyra Valkyra, Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane looked really good in this, but of course, Lyra gets her victory here, and she now joins Chelsea Green and Io. This one's not looking too obvious just yet because they only have a couple names, so I feel like this could really go to anybody. I'm still rooting for Tiffany Stratton. I hope that's the direction they go, but right now, based on the options of the people that are in it, with Lyra, Chelsea, and Io, I'm kind of going for Chelsea because I think she would be really fun with the briefcase. But again, it's really looking like anybody's ball game right now with the women's Money in the Bank. So I want to go ahead and get into the Drew McIntyre stuff because this also ties into Money in the Bank. So Drew McIntyre had a promo today and very quick. To the point, he still hates CM Punk, in case you're wondering. He tells everybody that if you root for CM Punk, you're basically dead to him. And he says he is going to be in the Money in the Bank. So he is going to be part of a qualifier next week. And this qualifier, if you haven't seen just yet, it's Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre versus Ilya. And damn, holy damn. That is going to be a hell of a match, guys. I really hope, please, please give this match all the time that it can possibly have. I don't care about no crappy segments. I don't care. I just want to see this match get its full serving. Please give it the full serving right then and there. I need to see this match be like 20 minutes. I would like it to be no commercial break. I doubt it. We're going to get commercial breaks. That's just the way things is. But I really, really cannot wait to see this match. It's going to be so freaking good. Anyways, Drew McIntyre trashes CM Punk. We find out his qualifier. He brings up the bracelet that has AJ's name and Larry's name on it. And he even calls Larry ugly. We get Larry chance. That was really the big thing. But Drew McIntyre is going to be Money in the Bank. I'm expecting for CM Punk to cost him. Not the qualifier. I'm expecting him to cost him in the Money in the Bank match itself. I think that would be the proper way to go about it. But I do think Drew McIntyre should be in the Money in the Bank match because if not, then what else is he going to do? So, so I'm expecting him to win that qualifier next week. Okay, so the next thing I want to go ahead and get into is, since we're on the topic of Money in the Bank, I might as well get into the Braun Breaker Ludwig Kaiser match. This was really good. Braun was on freaking fire. He redeemed himself, hit a really awesome Frankensteiner off the top rope. Great. But unfortunately, Sheamus comes in, attacks Ludwig Kaiser, and ends up basically ruining this match for Braun Breaker. And Sheamus knees Ludwig Kaiser in the face, lifts him up like he's going to do a power bomb, but Braun Breaker comes out and spears Sheamus, thus tossing both of them down to the ground. This was very, very cool. I love the match. I love the post-match. And this led to Braun Breaker being very angry and going to Adam Pearce's office and basically saying, like, what the hell? Everybody keeps interrupting my matches, which I agree with him. He should be angry. And he's then confronted by Sami Zayn backstage. And Sami Zayn basically challenges him for the accepts his challenge, right? He's going to be wrestling him at Money in the Bank for the Intercontinental Championship. They had already started to make their way this direction. So now it's officially finalized. That match is happening. And I'm glad. I like the way that they did all of this. And I'm so ready for Braun Breaker to get that Intercontinental Championship. I think it's going to be a really good win for him. Sami Zayn doesn't need it. Sami Zayn is set in stone. The fans ain't going to turn on him. The fans love Sammy, but it's Braun's time right now to get a gold. You got something special in Braun, so you're definitely going to want to run with that. So there you go. That's that portion with that. The next thing that I want to go ahead and get into is the Damian Priest, Seth Rollins stuff. Since again, we're on the topic of Money in the Bank, that match is taking place. They go back and forth here. Really, the big thing that came out of this is that there are these added stakes in this match now. It's not just the World Heavyweight Championship, but if Seth Rollins loses, he is no longer going to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest. So that's pretty huge. Of course, that's only if Damian Priest is champion. If there's a different champion, then Seth will still challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship. But as long as Damian Priest is champion, Seth will not challenge for the World Heavyweight title. However, if Damian Priest loses, he is out of the Judgment Day. And Damian Priest got a little cocky here, and I think they're planting a seed again, hopefully for this breakup of the Judgment Day, because I have been waiting forever. But I think this might be the moment where Damian Priest breaks off on his own, because he said the Judgment Day needed him more than he needed the Judgment Day. So I think that's them starting to set that whole thing up. There's been a lot of friction between the members and Damian Priest. He seems to be taking on like the father role in the Judgment Day, and it seems to not really be working out too much for them. So I do think that's about to be running its course. And the next couple of things that we need to get into, really two things, not really too much to talk about. The Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, the women's tag team champions, they defeat Kaden Carter, Katana Chance. It's a really quick match. They kept it very simple, very short. Damage control, run in, and attack. Not too much else to say about that. I just want to keep seeing the champions in matches, and hopefully against, I want to see them have longer matches with teams that feel a little bit more solid. So that's the only way that you're going to keep building them as a tag team champion. So I do hope we get to see that. And then we see Kofi Kingston versus Karrion Kross, and Karrion Kross gets the win because Final Testament attacks Kofi backstage. And so it, attacks Xavier backstage. And that's why Kofi Kingston ends up getting distracted. And so he ends up losing to Karrion Kross here. I thought that they needed this. The backstage attack was very important here because the Final Testament has not looked cool at all. There has been nothing interesting about the Final Testament at all. So them doing a simple little attack backstage, I thought, went a pretty long way. And the other last and final thing that I need to mention is we are finally going to be getting the documentary of WrestleMania 40 happening next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern. So finally, we have been waiting forever. They have been promoting this documentary. They said it was going to come out, and then they promoted it for like a random day, and then it never came out. So now they're promoting it again for July 3rd. And so hopefully it actually comes out. I'm wondering what changes they made. I'm wondering why the delay kept them from posting this up. I know that it was a sensitive topic with The Rock and Cody Rhodes, and the decisions and the audible that was called and all of the details behind creative and what this meant. Because again, the Cody fans taking over and the outrage online. I mean, there was just so much, and who knows what the hell happened back behind the scenes. Of course, we're not going to get like the full real story. I'm pretty sure they're going to, with editing, you can tell any story you want, guys. When you edit something, you have the power to tell the story the way you want to tell it. So just because it's a documentary doesn't necessarily mean that it's 1,000% true, right? Of course, we're not going to see all of the real behind-the-scenes stuff. We're going to see what they want us to see. But either way, I am intrigued. So we'll wait for all of that. I'll be here to talk about that next week. But anyways, that was my Raw review for the audio listeners, as well as the video version for the DWO. I appreciate you guys so very much. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, please tweet me, Facebook me, Instagram me. And speaking of Instagram, I just hit 86,000 followers on the app, and I've been posting lots of clips. I've been posting reactions. So if you guys want to go and give a follow, that's @_DeniseSalcedo. You are more than welcome to. And that's about it. And I will be back tomorrow for some NXT conversation and a full slate of shows this week. Bye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.